Jumbo, Sanbonani, Mangwanani, and welcome to the Africa Matters podcast. We are so excited to bring you yet another podcast of fantastic content that is driven by young Africans. Now, if you are tuning into this podcast hoping that we'll talk about how Africa is the continent of despair and of no hope and how Africa is the dark continent, then this is not the podcast for you. But if you are tuning into this podcast to listen to stories of innovation, growth of economic growth and development and human development that is driven by young Africans on the ground, then this is indeed the podcast and the platform for you. Welcome again to the Africa Matters podcast. I am your host, Farai Mubayiwa. And so today's topic is really critical to how we understand Africa and our growth. Today we'll be talking about social entrepreneurship in Africa. Now, social enterprises play a critical role in addressing many of the world's socioeconomic challenges. Social enterprises uplift communities, they accelerate progress, and they create job opportunities. And technology plays a huge role in helping us increase the impact and scale of social enterprises. Social entrepreneurs, in particular, help to tackle a lot of social and environmental problems, and at the same time, they provide goods and services to their communities. Their work brings together different people to trade in products, services, and information. And by doing this, they strengthen as well as build the resilience of their communities. Social entrepreneurship in Africa is an even more exciting topic, and that's what we'll be focusing on. Social entrepreneurs establish and run outstanding, innovative businesses that are able to benefit low-income, marginalized, and vulnerable people. And as a result, we're seeing trends in Africa that suggest that young Africans, whether they're based on the continent or in the diaspora, are starting to leap start their businesses and social enterprises on the continent. And to take us through understanding what is a social enterprise, how does one start one, how do we obtain funding for social enterprises, we're going to be guided by the incredible, the vibrant, the visionary, the starter, and the great leader, Ms. Bertha Sithole. Bertha is the founder and the managing director of Cape Deliveries. She has over 10 years of experience in communications and 8 years in business management. She is a Yali Mandela Washington 2019 alumni. She holds a degree in public relations, and she's destined to not only take Cape Deliveries to greater heights, but Africa as a whole to greater heights. Her mantra goes, begin with the end in mind, and thus Kuanza, meaning begin in Swahili, was born. And so we are so excited to welcome Ms. Bertha Sithole to the podcast. Welcome, Bertha, to the Africa Matters podcast.
Thank you so much, Farai, for having me. And it's such an honor to be on this podcast. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bertha. And so let's get straight into it. I'm so excited to hear about your journey and to just learn so many gems from you. And the first question I have for you is, what is a social enterprise?
All right. So there are so many definitions on what a social enterprise is. So I'll just go into two of those definitions because I think they are aligned with what we do as Kuanza Deliveries and on the African context. So a simple definition is a social enterprise is an organization that applies commercial strategies to maximize improvements in financial, social, and environmental well-being of a community. They solve these problems by making and selling services or products to paying customers. Now, we cannot complete definition of a social enterprise without defining what an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur is a person who starts and runs their own business. They are a special breed of people who have skills like time management, timekeeping, networking, sales, communication, finance, etc. So they are everything in one. Hence, they're able to see, identify problems, and try to find services and products to solve those problems. So to make an example, let me just make an example of one of our own in Eswatini. There is this lady, brilliant lady called Sonia Pavia. She is a Swaziland social entrepreneur, and she is making an impact in the agribusiness and food processing sectors in the country, right? Now, what she did was to merge two, well, we call it businesses. She has a Women Farmer Foundation, whereby she identifies and recognizes and develops women and youth farmers across the country. And then she has a business called Eswatini Kitchen, which is a profit-making company. Now, what she does is she takes 10% of the profits from Eswatini Kitchen and then develops the Women Farmer Foundation through teaching them skills on farming and through taking them through school and empowering these young women. So that's an example of how a social enterprise is. So it's making money. At the same time, you are solving a problem.
Sure. And I think you have absolutely hit the nail on the head about defining a social enterprise. You know, it's way beyond what we usually see as the entrepreneurship journey. In your own words, it's being able to make money, but also being able to solve different social economic problems. Mm-hmm. And I love the example that you gave of the work of Sonia Pavia. And it's really exciting. And I hope that for the next season, we can definitely have her on the show as well.
Oh, definitely.
So tell us, why is social entrepreneurship seen as so critical to Africa's growth and development?
All right. I'm just going to start this with something you are not going to expect. So Alibaba's Jack Ma once said, he was in a conference, in a lecture in Johannesburg, on lessons for African entrepreneurs. Now, here's something interesting. He says, I quote, "When I came to Africa, I was inspired and wondered why I did not come 10 years earlier. Because Africa is full of opportunities." This, for me, was a shocker. Here we are in Africa. We can't see what other people see. And he comes all the way from China, sees opportunity, and he regrets not coming earlier. What is it that they see that we don't see? Mm. And so now we have a whole lot of problems. You can touch any sector. Africa has a lot of problems. Who is best fit to solve those problems than people who are living within the context of that particular community? So what I think and believe is that young people, if they were given an opportunity or a wake-up call to look and use their senses, I always say this, you need to use all your senses. Use your eyes to see, taste, touch, feel, in order for you to get mad. Because one of my the best well-known social entrepreneurs, Professor Mohammed Yunus, once said, "If something doesn't make you angry, you're not going to act." Mm. So you need to get mad. You need to get irritated for you to then identify the problem and then you solve it. Let me just take it back a little bit. Africa, as a whole, has 1.2 billion people, right? Mm-hmm. Over 226 million of those people are youth. So if we are, I wish I had a chalkboard so that I can write this. Okay, now here we are. We have high youth unemployment across the continent. Every university has graduations every single year. Now these are people that are going into the labor sector, right? So what is it that we are missing? You are just missing this person, this you, a young entrepreneur, to identify a problem and use all these skills that are available in the continent or in the community that you are in order to solve a problem. Now, if we're thinking, let's take Johannesburg, for example. If we had 10 people in Johannesburg solving waste issues, do you think that place will be dirty? Mm. No, right? Because we'll have people who are trying to clean the place through entrepreneurship. So this works as recycling. Because if I see a problem, a waste problem, I figure out if I can get people to collect the litter, recycle it, and then sell it to somebody else, I'm going to hire graduates who are currently at home not doing anything. I'm going to give them money, meaning that we are reducing poverty and we are creating more wealth, right? Mm-hmm. And then through doing that, our community, the community that you are solving this issue in, gets empowered. They look at this thing and they feel like they can also do something because you are just using what you have and what's already there. So I would definitely say, we need more social enterprises in Africa to solve our problems, because that way Africa is going to grow and Africa is going to develop. But we just need to believe in starting small. Mm. One person at a time, one person in each community.
Sure. Bertha, you are just so inspiring. I absolutely love how you reference some more trailblazers to be able to understand and relate to. I love that quote that, you know, if something doesn't make you angry, you are not mm-hmm. going to act. And yeah. you know, and that is so important, and definitely shows us, like what you're saying, that we've got so many young people in Africa. How are we empowering our young people to be able to change their society, to be able mm-hmm. to say, this isn't right. How do I make a social enterprise out of it? And that you're really, really spitting such incredible gems. And it's really inspiring just listening to you. And I think this leads me to really find out more about you. So tell us about your organization, K Deliveries. What mm-hmm. makes it a social enterprise? And also what inspired you to start it?
All right. Now, Kwanzaa Deliveries is quite an interesting story. So I've always been that young person who wants to solve problems. I just did not know how to start and how to do it. My mantra, as you mentioned earlier, to begin with the end in mind, right? So mm-hmm. I had moved from the community and I was beginning with the end in mind in a different sector in town, you know, in the corporate environment. So when I came back from the Mandela Washington Fellowship, where I was attached at the University of Notre Dame, we got to learn a lot about social enterprises in the American context, how they come about, how they are formed. So when I returned, I had a look at my community. What is it that is a problem? And I realized that my community has a lot of farmers. We have farms and they are producing every single cycle. And every household uses food, uses vegetables every single day. Where are they buying these vegetables? They're buying the vegetables 42 kilometers away. And chances are the cabbage that you bought at a supermarket in town is the same cabbage that is being grown by your neighbor. Mm. And you had bought that cabbage at a price that is two times as it was. And guess what? Your neighbor is not empowered, because we have a lot of middlemen and they get ripped off and all, so many issues that farmers face, right? So I spoke to the farmers to find out what they have problems with. And you find that sometimes they don't find a market. Sometimes they don't understand the whole agricultural cycle and the value chain. And well, there were other problems. And then I did my research there, compiled the research. And then I went to the house, to the homestead, to try to find out where they get their vegetables. What is it that is important to them? Is it convenience? Is it freshness, etc.? How much are they buying these vegetables? Do they even know that their neighbor is farming? Why can't they buy from their neighbor? So we collected all this research and then came up with a solution. A solution was, let us create a website whereby the local households can order the available vegetables from the farmers. And then we're going to hire, providing employment for young people in the community to ride bicycles to go deliver these fruits and vegetables. So what we're going to do is make sure we know what the farmers have. We create the platform, we upload what they have. We have a nice creative way of packaging the vegetables, and then we go deliver at the doorsteps within the community. So that's how it came about. So now the issue, sustainability. I believe a social enterprise is not for profit, but it's for sustainability. It is to sustain the business itself. It should be able to pay salaries, cover the cost, and it should be transparent, and accountability should always be there. And reinvest all the profits that are made. So it's not for me at the end of the year to take dividends and get excited and whatnot. But no, this is for the community. This has to go. And in the future, 20 years from now, this still has to run, because it is to develop the community. I want money to circulate within the community, because if a farmer has income, it means they are able to take their kids to school. They are able to build homes. They're able to get food, you know. And the issue of food is very close to my heart, because we need food to survive. So there should definitely be available food. So that's how Kwanzaa Deliveries came about. And yeah, it is a social enterprise and it shall continue to be so in the next 20, 40 years?
Sure. I think it's really, really profound how you did your research. Mm-hmm. You didn't come with a top-down approach to say, this is the issue, this is how I think I'm going to fix it. You actually engaged with the stakeholders. And that is so important to ensuring that, you know, we're not only building a business, but a business that truly solves what the issues are within the community. Mm-hmm. I also love what you said about the fact that a social enterprise is not there for profit. It's there for sustainability. And sure, you're really, really inspiring me with what you're saying and learning so much. And I think my last question for you is, what advice would you give to unemployed African youth who want to start their own social enterprise?
Okay. Is it the last question already? Wow. I was having fun.
I'm really enjoying this conversation so much.
All right. So, you know, I always say, begin with the end in mind. All you have to do is start. So when you start with you, your personal being, yourself. What is it that you want? So you create a vision board. You write everything that you want. You make a plan. How is it that you're going to achieve whatever that you want? And they always have to be smart. They should be simple, measurable, achievable, time-bound, and time. Which one did I miss?
Relevant.
Relevant, yes. So they are definitely have to be smart. And then once you know what you want, then you find ways to achieve those dreams, right? While you are doing that, look at, as I mentioned earlier, use your five senses to look around and feel your community. And then you will find a business idea there. When you find that business idea, go online, do your research online, and then go to speak to those people. Because it happens that something is an inconvenience to you, and yet everybody else doesn't feel the same. But you can change their mind. So whatever problem you'll be solving, people are going to buy into it if it is a problem. So make sure you do your research, you ask people, speak to people, do not be on your own. Meaning get people you can talk to, other entrepreneurs. Collaboration is key. You cannot do everything alone. So collaborate with somebody. Anyway, use your social media to contact people. I had a collaboration with another agency in Johannesburg, and I met this lady on Instagram. All you just do is just text and they respond. So make sure you collaborate, make sure you speak to people, learn from failures. You are going to fail, and you are going to fail every single day, and there's no shame in failing. That is how you get to learn. And then you need to, I've spoken about the senses. The one last thing, Muhammad Yunus says again, who knows, it may work, but let me give it a try. If it fails, it's okay, but I have to try. There's nothing worse than a young person who complains all the time, but when you ask them, they have never tried anything, but yet they are very vocal. They know what is wrong with everybody, but they've never tried anything. So I always say, what Mr. Muhammad, Professor Muhammad is saying is very true. Just try. If it fails, it's still fine. You're going to learn from it, but just try. And one last thing, the money aspect of things. You find young people who say, I can't start a business because I don't have capital. Okay. Next question. How much capital do you need? You don't have an answer. Because we do not invest in finding out, doing research, drafting that business plan, and calculating how much exactly do you need. And then you'll have another young person telling you that the banks are not going, they're not giving them money. And this person wants 1 million rands, for example. They have never touched 10,000 rands in their whole life. No funder is going to trust them, believe me. And we cannot even blame them. They're also trying to protect their own money. So start small. There's a lady I know who started selling eggs. Farai sold 30 eggs. You see the tray of eggs? She saw a problem. There were a lot of chakas who were passing by the area that she was at. And they always hungry because shops close early. So she started boiling a tray of 30 eggs. One tray, next thing she was now boiling 30 eggs. But she started with one tray, which was 30 emalangeni. which is the children's. So you start small. Now she, her kid has just gone through school. She's built a big house. She's bought the car. All those things that you can think of by selling eggs. So let us not be ashamed of doing the little things. You solve a problem. You get money. And do not be embarrassed. If you fail, you fail. It's fine. You have tried. And you start again. Just learn from it. But you need to start small. Once you have 100 rands, you're going to have 200. And then someone will trust you with 100,000 because they've seen your track record that you are able to manage money. Yeah, sure. I could go on.
And I could listen to you all day. I mean, you are just absolutely inspiring. You can hear the passion as you speak. I mean, you are so passionate about social enterprises and their ability to not only make money, but to solve problems in Africa. I love what you said about with Jack Ma, how he said, you know, Africa is full of opportunities. And why we as Africans seeing these opportunities? We are quick to complain, but when are we going to put in the work? And when are we going to say, all right, there's this issue within my community, and this is how I'll do my research, and this is how we can solve it. Yeah. I think so much of what you've shared, so many young Africans will be inspired by, and will not only be inspired through just listening, but will put this inspiration and this passion they get from this podcast to action. What you've said resonates so much with the Africa Matters mantra, and that is, we are the ones we've been waiting for. So let us as young people stop waiting and let us put in the work to see and create the Africa we want. Bertha, thank you so much for your time. You've been such an incredible guest on the show. And we look forward to seeing your career continue to skyrocket, and we see KK Deliveries continue to just trailblaze in this industry. Thank you for being here with us.
Wow, thank you so much, Farai. Thank you, thank you. And thank you for listening, everybody.